no doubt. But if you're talking about that old time religion, well, I know what you're talking about. I like to talk about the time Jesus saved me when my poor soul was sinking down in sin. Yeah, I like to talk about the times that He's helped me through the storm, the sun, and the rain. I like to talk about the time of His coming when I'll see His sweet face, there's no doubt. But if you're talking about that old time religion, well, I know what you're talking about. Amen. Now, if you're talking about that old time religion, well, I can tell you what you're talking about. About the time that'll make you love your pastor when old Satan will say, kick him out. About the time that'll comfort you in sorrow and it'll never ever fail to make you shout. But if you're talking about that old time religion, well, I know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Amen. Well, it's good to be saved. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, salvation is free, but it ain't cheap. Amen. It costs heaven the most precious jewel that it had. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that He was willing to lay aside His robes of righteousness and all the glory that He had up in heaven and condescend to an old wicked, sin-cursed earth and willing to go to the cross. The Bible said He endured the cross, despising the shame, and now He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. And Jesus was willing to come and bleed and die in our place so that you and I could have this great salvation. Thank God. Hallelujah. It's so good to be here. I praise the Lord for His goodness. Now, let's get right into the Word of God. And the Bible's not going to hurt you. It'll help you if you'll just get in the Word of God. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Why does God want us to hide the Word of God in our heart? Somebody tell me. That I might not sin against thee. Now, if you got your Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want us to read the first 10 verses. And I want us to kind of talk tonight, Brother Zach, about this matter of salvation, how God saves people, why God wants to save people, and what will transpire in a person's life when they really get born in the family of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what we're finding in our churches in the day and age in which we're living. There's a whole lot of folks that have shook the preacher's hand, but they never turned loose of the devils. And they got an old-fashioned good case of religion, but they didn't get born again.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, religion will make you miserable.
Right.
Did you ever get up dreading to have to go to church? Did you ever get to the place where you said, oh no, not read the Bible again. Oh no, that preacher, every time he gets up and preaches, he preaches about something that either I'm doing or something that I'm not doing. And, you know, he's just about to rub me the wrong way. Well, the old timers used to have a saying. They'd say, you know, that preacher, he rubs the fur on the cat's back the wrong way. And the old time preacher said, well, all you got to do is just turn the cat around. Amen. And then he'll be rubbing it the right way. Glory to God. And that is called repentance. The Bible said repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ is how a person gets saved and gets in the family of God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, everybody's there, say glory hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah, alright? Just about everybody's there. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse number 1, the word of God says, and you hath he quickened. Now, somebody help me. What do you think the word quickened means? Have you ever been, sister, have you ever been filing your fingernails or cutting your fingernails or doing something to your fingernails and you get down there where it causes it to bleed? You ever done that? You know what they call that? They say you got down in the quick. Now, the word quick, when you say you got down in the quick, you got down there where there's life. You got down there where there's feet. You got down there where something is alive, and when you stick it the wrong way, it'll start bleeding and it'll let you know that you got into the quick. Did you know that's the word there that the Apostle Paul used when he said, and you hath he quickened? The word quickened means to make alive or to give life. Now, the Bible teaches that sinners are dead in their trespasses and their sins. Have you ever asked the question, why does that individual act the way that he does? Why does he do the things that he does? Why does he go to the places that he goes? And why does he keep the company that he keeps company with? It's because he's dead in trespasses and in sins. So the Bible said, in you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, hold your place there, and we're going to compare scripture with scripture. Go to the book of John, John chapter number 6, and look at verse number 37. John chapter 6, verse number 37. Now the Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Who's that saying that? Who's that speaking there in John 6 verse 37? That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. And he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, drop down to verse number 63. Same chapter, John 6. Look at verse number 63. It is the Spirit that, there's that word again, quickened. It's the Spirit that makes alive or gives life. And he's the only one that can quicken an old sinner and give him life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life. Now, on down in verse number 70. Look at it. John 6, verse 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, did you know Judas was numbered with the 12, but Judas never knew the Lord? Amen. Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil.
Right.
Now, again, back in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that you hath he quickened, made alive, gave life, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, verse number 2 of Ephesians 2 tells you how an individual walks, talks, conducts themselves when they're walking in darkness and dead in trespasses and sins. Look at verse number 2, Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein, in time past, how many of you remember in time past, you walked according to the course of this world?
Right.
according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, somebody help me. Who is the prince of the power of the air? The Bible, who's it teach? Yep. Is the prince of the power of the air. The devil.
Right.
And see, people that are not saved, they're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, let's go on. Look at verse number 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation. Now, there's another word. Now, when we use the word conversation in our day, we're talking about what you say with your lips. They say, oh, that person's conversation is really bad, or it's really good. We use the word conversation as what comes out of our mouths and what we say with our mouth. But in the Word of God, the word conversation there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 3 is talking about a person's manner of life, or the way that they're walking and the things that they're involved in. Somebody said, why does that man drink all the time, won't support his family, and will not get a job, and he's so lazy that if he got the 7 or 8, you take him 100 years there to scratch it out? That is the conversation that he's in. That's why he's like that.
Right.
Because he's not been quickened by the Spirit of God, and he's not saved by the grace of God, and because of that, his conversation is in time past, he's in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we at one time were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, that's a dark, bleak picture.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Aren't you glad that God didn't stop there? What does verse 4 says? So, in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, after he says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, where in a time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Woo! But God.
Amen.
Woo! Now, did you know that changes the whole dark, bleak picture?
Yeah.
But God, who is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where would you be tonight had God not been rich in mercy?
Oh, boy.
The psalmist said, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. And he's plenteous in mercy and in truth. Hallelujah. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 25, he said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Woo, glory to God. Psalm 34, verse 6 said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles.
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And then he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Boy.
Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him.
Absolutely.
The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Woo, glory to God. Nahum said, the Lord's good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Hallelujah. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, he has shown me, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee,
that's
but
good.
To do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly
right.
with thy God. Woo! Hallelujah. Lamentation 3, verse 22 and 23 says,
good,
it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not.
They're
new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God is faithful. And God will do what He said He'll do. It's impossible for God to lie. Woo, glory to God. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. Paul said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Hallelujah. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Now, 1 John 4 verse 10 said, herein is love. Not that we love God. We like to boast a lot of times about how much we love God. He said, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us.
Right.
And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Verse 11 said, beloved, if God so loved us. And the Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. Amen. And so He said, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, now we ought also to love one another.
Amen.
Now the Bible goes on to say there in 1 John chapter 4, I believe it's verse 19, it said, we love Him because He first loved us. Now, if a man say, I love God, but I tell you what, I hate my brother. Well, the Bible says he's a liar.
Come on.
For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And the Bible said there in that same book of 1 John, I believe it's chapter 3, and verse number 14, it says, we know. We're not guessing. We're not
hoping. That's right.
We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Certainly.
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Right.
And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding
right.
in him. Amen.
Right.
1 John chapter 1 verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Sure.
But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad the rest of that goes on to say? But if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful. Have you ever got down and you know there's something between you and God?
Right.
And you get out and try to play the role of hypocrite.
Right.
And you say, now Lord, if I've committed any sins, well, you know if you have, and He knows that you have.
Yeah.
And best thing to do is just get out there and be honest and just come clean and say, oh
that's
God, I've sinned against you. And I'm
right.
not worthy for you to forgive me. But Lord, you promised in your Bible that if I confess that you'd forgive me, and Lord, I want you to forgive me and be merciful to me. That's the way to get it took care of. That's what the Bible calls confessing our sins.
Right.
And taking God's side about our sin.
Right.
And letting God know that we're sorry that we've sinned against God and His throne and everything that's good and holy and righteous. Woo! Glory to God. See, God, this Bible teaches, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Now I'm going to tell you something. You might take repentance out of the fact that it's necessary for sinners to get saved, but I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're just going to make somebody a twofold more a child of hell
right.
than they were before they ever made that profession.
Yes, sir.
Because the Bible says that if a person really gets birth into the family of God, they must be willing to repent.
Sure.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Now, did you know God don't want sinners to perish? God's not willing that any should perish.
Mm-hmm.
God loves sinners.
Right.
God wants sinners to be saved, and God cares about our loved ones and wants you and I to get a burden for them and go and try to warn them that God wants them to be saved.
Yeah.
Now, there in Ephesians chapter 2, there in verse 4, but God, y'all still there?
Yes, sir.
But God, who is rich in mercy, hallelujah, for his great love wherewith he loved us. My. Did you know God's so rich in mercy that the grace of God can resurrect an old vile sinner and change his life and make something out of him and make him respectable and put him in the house of God and put a Bible in his hand and put prayer in his lips and get him to sing an Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Woo! Glory to God. God's grace is resurrected. Did you know God's grace is reliable? Oh, the grace of God is reliable. Do you know God's grace is reconciling? Did you know the Bible teaches that God's grace is responsible? Did you know God's grace is reasonable? God's grace is relaxing. And God's grace is renovating.
Hallelujah. That's right.
God can take an old, vile, wicked, drunk, bum, streetwalker, you name it, and can transform their life and make a new creature out of them.
Thank God, preacher. Amen.
Instead of cursing God, now they want to praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, did you know I was thinking this afternoon? And I said, them people has heard everything from Dan to Beersheba. And they know Moses and all the prophets, and the preacher done preach about everything. They can be thought, what in the world am I going to be able to say to them people that maybe will be a help to them? Now, a lot of times folks think that a preacher ain't preaching unless he's busting somebody's hide, being mean as a rattlesnake, and making everybody in the church mad. Now, there's a time for that.
Right.
But did you know there are times when people needs to be blessed.
Yeah.
There's a time when people need to be let know that they're appreciated in the church.
Right.
Did you know there's a time when the preacher should get up and say something good about old Sister Flapjaw and about old Mr. Tightwad and Monty Glover? You say, preacher, what can he say good about them? Say, it'd be good if you get out here and repent. Woo, that'd be good. Tell them that. But did you know, it's kind of like the Lord. Now, I'm over there standing in that big swanky place. I don't even know what to call it. But anyway, big swanky place. And I'm afraid to go out of there, Brother Zach. I'm afraid I'll lose my way and I'll be able to find my way back in there. And so I didn't bring my suitcase in there. It's a suitcase still in the car. And couldn't brush my teeth. Got my toothbrush. No, still in the car. Well, these store-bought teeth don't have to be brushed too much. But anyway, and I'm over in that fancy place. And scared to go out, afraid I'll get locked out or forget where I'm at or something like that. And it's just amazing. And the Lord said, son, you know what most people are guilty of that comes to church real regular? I said, Lord, tell me. And it's kind of like the Lord whispered to my heart. And he said, most folk are not thankful enough for what God has done for them. And did you know, the Bible teaches that if you and I become unthankful, it won't be long till we'll become unholy.
Sure.
They go right hand in hand.
That's right, buddy.
See, when you become unthankful, you'll start thinking that God owes you. Oh. And everybody else owes you. And you're an asset to God. And God couldn't make it without you. And you'll become unthankful. Hey, when's the last time that you thank God that you had a good church to come to? And that you got a good pastor that preaches the Word of God and preaches out of the King James Bible, and he won't dip his colors, and he won't let mini skirts and high tops and jambuga and all that kind of stuff into the church, and he tried to keep it right? Hey, you need to be thankful for the things that God does for you. Hey, now, has any of y'all ever done something for somebody and they didn't have the courtesy to even say, thank you?
Yes, sir.
And when you did it, they received it almost like they were saying, well, it's about time that you got right with God and gave me that.
Right, yes, sir.
Now that just joys your heart and makes you want to do more for them. No. Oh, no. See, we teach our children to be thankful. If somebody gives them like a drink of water, gives them a piece of candy, or gives them a Job 17 one buster, or whatever. We teach our children to say thank you and be thankful for what people does for them. But how about you and I? Are we thankful for the things that God does for us? Did you know the Bible said in Psalm 92 and verse 1 that it is a good thing? Somebody said, oh, I'd like to do something good. Well, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord,
yes,
and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High.
Right.
Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord's good.
Mm-hmm.
His mercy is everlasting and his truth endured to all generations. But as you know, when you become unthankful, you'll get to the place where you don't appreciate anything. You'll think everything is owed to you and they're just giving you what you deserve. Now, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell with our backs broke. Amen.
Right.
Now, again, back in Ephesians chapter 2, there in verse 4, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, there's that word again, hath quickened us together with Christ.
Right.
By grace, you're saved, and hath raised us up together, verse 6, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to discourage a preacher, just let him hear you say when he gets through preaching, Lord God, I didn't think he's ever going to shut up. I mean, Lord have mercy. I guess he thought he just had to preach the whole Bible. And I guess he thought he was impressing us by showing us what he knows. And man, I tell you what, if that put me to sleep. Now that'll discourage a preacher when he hears people talk like that. But did you know, if you want to get a preacher charged up, it feels like he can charge hell with a three-pronged fork and a water pistol, saying there's power in the blood. Just say, sometimes, you know, preacher, buddy, I'm going to tell you, you're shedding the corn today. I'm telling you what, you would really let her go. And boy, I tell you, you can preach 2 more hours, wouldn't have hurt me a bit. I'm telling you, I was liking it, and it encouraged me, and man, I needed that, and it's going to help me be a better Christian. Woo! That's just like saying, see them do a bone now. I mean, it encourages a preacher. It makes him want to preach. But if you sit back there and look at your watch about every 5 minutes, and you're yawning, and you're looking at a wall-eyed, looking at your wife like your mother-in-law's moved in, ain't going to never move back out. And you're just sitting there like you're bored to tears, and you wish that God was somewhere else. You're just like you're on a torture rack, and somebody just torturing you and beating the fire out of you and just making you suffer. Oh, I'm telling you what. Now, the Bible says that a preacher can be instant, in season, and out of season. But now, when they're talking like that, it's out of season, but you got to preach it anyway. Amen.
Still got to be.
And I guess that's what makes some preachers so mean. Because people act like they don't appreciate their preaching, and they act like they wish they'd hurry up and shut up. I tell you what, I've been places, this is true. If I'm lying, hope, light, and destruction. Well, somewhere. Anyway, I've had to tell them when I get through preaching. I said, I'll tell you one thing. We ain't going to pay you for preaching. We'll pay you to leave. What did it take to get rid of you? So I need to come up with a pretty good figure. And I said, well, if y'all going to get rid of me, it's going to cost you. Well, why did it cost me rid of me? And I've had others say, we're going to make sure we get you enough gas to get you out of town. And they'll laugh, and they think that's so humorous, and they think that they really made a big joke. But what they're doing, they're trying to discourage. Now see, I didn't volunteer to preach. God put me in the ministry.
Right.
God called me, God saved me, and then he called me, and he put me into the ministry. I didn't volunteer for this job. I got drafted. But did you know, it don't upset me. I thank God that he counted me worthy to preach and put me into the ministry. Yep. Listen to the word of God, if I'm at the right place. In Titus, yeah, I believe it's Titus. Titus chapter 2. Now, if you're too lazy to turn over and read, I'll read it. Okay. But speak, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Preach on the blood. Preach on the bull. Preach on the blessed hope. That's sound doctrine. Preach against sin. Exhort the people of God. That's sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate. Sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not a soapbox opera watcher. Oh, no, that ain't it. Not false accusers. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, I may be wrong, preacher. The Bible says that women are to be taught to love their husbands. But, now I may be wrong, but I don't think the Bible anywhere says that the husband is to be taught to love his wife. Did you know if a man treats his wife like she's supposed to be treated, that she don't have no trouble loving him? I mean, it's a blessing to love him, and the sweet, nice things that he says, it just makes her fall more and more in love. I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over. I mean, that's supposed to be to the Lord. Now, hey, the Lord is pleased when you're saying nice things to your wife. Hey, husbands, love your wives, not somebody else's. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Woo! Now, sister, when old Jim over there says something nice about you, don't it just touch your heart and you just, ooh! It's just like he put $100 in my pocket. Oh, and you feel so good. But what about when he's sharp and cutting, and he says things like, you ain't got enough sense that God gave a billy goat. Now, you know that don't touch your heart, does it? Matter of fact, it stirs up anger in you, don't it? I tell you one day, next time I cook some bread, I may put some rat poison in there and say, honey, I'm not hungry. You know, I'll miss you if you want. He thinks I'm mean now. You just sit and keep talking like that. And I tell you what, I climb up on his house top and tear all his shingles off. Hey, I jerk and ball hit it. See, it's the nice, sweet things that you say to your wives that touches their heart. And they don't know what I have to say. Did you know your husband's so kind and nice and sweet and debonair and all of that, that yours just love. Oh, I do love him. I mean, he's so good to me. How can I help but not love him? I mean, he sacrifices for me. He works for me. He brings home the money and lets me help spend it. And man, lets me stay home and take care of the children and everything and just take care of the house. And oh, it just blesses me to know that my husband loves me like that.
Right.
Woo!
Oh, wow. You're the chap.
Y'all want to go a little bit further, or is it time to quit?
No, go on.
Verse 5, there in Titus 2 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
That's good, preacher.
Now, did you know?
It's a good word.
A lot of men have been sold this bill of goods that they can't live only on what he makes, but she's got to go and work on a job, and guess who is her boss on that job?
Uh-oh.
Some other man.
Right.
And he'll walk up and he'll say things like, oh, and says, would you mind going out there to the commissary or the cafe or cafeteria or whatever and get me a cup of coffee? And I tell you what, stick your finger down in it so it'll be real sweet. She said, Jim Bogrady never said that to me. And see, it puts her in a position where she is, did y'all ever, before you got saved, now, not now, I know y'all don't listen to that, but did y'all ever hear that song, torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool, loving you is breaking all the rules. And see, it won't be long. See, you can't have two masters.
That's right.
And obey them both at the same time.
That's right.
The Bible says you either love one, hate the other, or you'll despise one, or cling to one and despise it. You cannot serve God and man. So God never intended for the wife. And see, here's why a lot of folks think it has to be. Because they'll go out and they'll buy things that they don't need, trying to impress people that they don't like. And they get so many bills coming in that they can't make ends meet. They can't even get them close enough to wave at one another, much less make them meet. And they feel like they've got to have two paychecks coming in. Now, you want to make somebody good and mad down here in the South, or we still in the South, there.
Yeah.
In the South, all you got to do is talk about the money that Bubba spends on Dira.
Uh-huh.
Woo! You want to fire somebody up. Just talking about them payments that they're having to make on that new four-wheeler.
Woo!
You just start talking about that rifle that they bought.
Yeah.
That cost about $2,000.
Right.
And that scope that they put on it that you can see out there in the dark. And it lights things up where you didn't even see it in the dark.
Right.
They forget to tell you that it costs hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
That's right.
But we used to deer hunt, me and my wife. We used to go deer hunting. We'd go together. And we was in this hunting club. Well, they told us one time, they said, now, we're going up on the deers. I thought, going up? It's high enough. I think it's just a little high now. And they said, we're going to charge you $750 just to get in the club. That's your dues. Now, you're not promised you'll even see a deer. But if you see one, he's got to have so many points on one side, and he's got to be so big, and you got to know that he don't weigh over 200 pounds or under 200. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just started putting two and two together, and
I started saying, Sister Barbara, I said, well, I'm buying me cheaper than that. And I'm going to go. And so guess what we done? We quit deer hunting. Sold the guns, got out of it, and did you know I ain't missed a meal? I mean, I've got people that gives me deer meat a lot of time. Matter of fact, my sister gave me some for Christmas. She said, here's some deer that was in the freezer, and deer sausage, deer meat, deer, I don't know, it might have been a deer old dog for all I know. Anyway, I mean, it's amazing the things that we think that we got to have, and you'll get so much going out that the wife will have to go to work, the kids will have to go to work, everybody will have to go to work, and guess what it is? It's nothing but fussing and fighting and feuding. The Bible said back in Ephesians 2, and I'm going to bring it to a close, and hath raised us up together. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Right. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But Zach, I have people tell me, I bet you won't go to so-and-so church and preach that.
What about that?
They'll say, here's your hat, but don't hurt. And we're going to give you a love offering, but we ain't going to love you so much. And it's amazing how people will sell out for the Almighty God.
Right.
I've been in churches where they have a sign right up there, have a little plaque right here. Not for sale. Not for sale. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, I feel like I need to say this, and I'm going to close. God is not holding back salvation and being a miser and not wanting to save people.
No.
That's not. And God gets a bad shake on that.
Yes, sir.
I mean, God wants to save sinners.
Sir.
But God don't want somebody just coming down and making a little profession of faith and they will not turn from their sin and they're not going to repent. And think that they're all right and get a little fire insurance.
Ooh.
That's about all some people has got.
Right.
It's just a little fire insurance.
Yes, sir.
And the preacher got them down there and said, now, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. 4, 5, 6, I sure hope it sticks. 7, 8, 9, seem like they miss it every time. Hey, now, if you hold on, hold out, and endure to the end, maybe you'll be saved. Why? Lord, that would confuse Moses.
Yeah.
For by grace, verse 8 said, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in.
Right.
Now, God wants sinners to be saved. But God wants them to really be saved.
Yeah.
God don't want them to just make a profession. Right. But God wants them to really get saved. And see, God wants you and I to get a burden and go and do our best to get people into the house of God so they can get under the preaching of the Word of God and get birthed into the family. God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the Word of God. I know it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and of the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. I know you said it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray you'd help us all to get a burden.